Sarah. Go Rat. If you guys heard my last message, that's my nickname. Betsy's laughing. Ushers, please collect our offering and serve us, please. And while they are doing that, for everyone else, could you please open your Bibles with me to Philippians 2:12-18. And if you have a Bible today or you have an app, I encourage you guys to read along with me. And if you don't, that's totally okay. Feel free to look on the person next to you, or it's always going to be on the screen too. So we will start in verse 12. It says this: "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Verse 14. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." Pray with me. Father God, I so thank you for this position that you've placed me in, God. I'm thankful that I was led to pray for a call to obedience, God, because although this is very daunting, God, I know it's exactly where you want me, God, and I pray that the students today, God, that I speak your words, God, and that those words reach these students today, God. I pray that as we continue, God, that they have ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive, God, for your words. I thank you again for today, and yeah, God, I pray that you're with me as I speak. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Awesome. So before we continue, again, I have another confession to make, but for real this time, it's not like when I told you my nickname was Rat. This was a real confession, and it like makes me nervous thinking about it. Okay, so the first, so when I was in high school, I cheated on a test. I cheated on a test, and you know what? I didn't just cheat on a test. I was caught cheating on my test. And it makes me nervous to say that because I feel like that wasn't my character. So I feel like you guys are looking at me like, wow, she cheated on her test. But this was before I was saved, and I've definitely repented for it because, again, I obviously 7 years later still feel bad. So before I continue, I need to disclaim. I have a piece of hair that's just really going to bother me. Okay, before I continue, I need to disclaim. Do not cheat on your tests. Okay, I'm standing before you. I'm telling you this right now. I'm not condoning this in any way, shape, or form. Do not cheat on your test. I touched the flame of cheating. I was burned, and I know, do not do that, okay? I know that sounds dramatic, but I'm serious. And if I find out that you guys cheat, I'm going to come right back with the sermon, and I'm going to do it again. Okay, so let me tell you exactly how this happened. So picture this. And for those seniors that just graduated, you guys know what I'm about to talk about. It is the stress of, like, the last month of senior year. It is, like, the most stressful time of life. Yeah, Chloe just gagged because that's how bad it is. It's just so stressful. And because you have prom and you're, like, applying to colleges and waiting for acceptance letters, or you're committing to colleges, or you are, you're going to prom, or you're planning out your dorm room, you're getting to know your roommates, all of this stuff. You're just stressed and overwhelmed with that. And so with that, that's how I was. I was very stressed, very overwhelmed. And for me, some you guys might not know this, but for me, when I am really stressed, I've worked on it a lot, but when I'm really stressed for too long of a period of time, I get like the worst cold ever. Like my immune system just drops. I get really, really ill. And that's what happened. I got super sick, so I missed the final test before the final exam. And so because of that, my teacher was very gracious. She said, Sarah, you know what? You can come in and remake the test, but it has to be the period before your final. And I said, all right. So I'm taking two tests in 2 hours. In retrospect, I would have asked for maybe a different time because that's stressful. But you know what? I took it. I was like very thankful. I could do it. So next thing I know, I'm sitting at my desk in the hallway. It's me, my test, and my phone in my pocket. And I'm looking at the test and it looks so foreign because I didn't mention earlier, but I also didn't study for this test. So not only was she so gracious in letting me retake or take it in the first place, I also did zero studying. Like when I say zero, I didn't even crack open the book. I don't even think for the last month of my senior year, I even opened my math book. Okay, so I knew like zero to none. So again, I'm sitting out in the hallway and I'm so desperate that I just decide to pull my phone out. And I was already, setting myself up for failure. Because in my high school, we had like, it was one super, super long hallway. And so the hallway that everyone had to walk through to get into the building was the hallway that I was sitting in with my test, with my phone on my desk. Okay, so that it gets worse. And then so the teacher's door was closed, so I was like, wow, like I'm hashtag blessed. Like I don't have to worry about my teacher coming out. But also, the teacher that was like two doors down, his door was wide open. I know him very well. He knows my family very well. And I knew he was in his room. So like, you think that I would be like, hey, Sarah, hey, don't do this. I did it anyway. Also, right down the hallway is a deputy that sits at the front of the building just to make sure. I know, like you think I would have like some sort of common sense, but I really did not. Deputy sitting down there. I know him very well. He knows my family very well. We live in a very small town. Everybody knows everybody. So again, like I'm talking like from here to the door out. Like that's how close this deputy was. And then above all else, the door directly across the hallway, like I'm talking from me to that door right there, is the superintendent's door. Okay, so like I was desperate. And I didn't realize how desperate I was until I was writing this message, and I was like, wow, Sarah, like, that really was not a great, that was not your brightest moment. So, yeah, just sit there and imagine that. So, before I continue on with that story, let's talk about what Paul is explaining in verses 12 and 13. They say this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So I think the first thing that Paul is saying in these verses is that he's calling the Philippians to continue being obedient. He's saying, okay, Philippians, you have been so faithful so far. In chapter 1, we're learning that the Philippians want nothing more than to advance the gospel with Paul. And so he's saying, you guys are doing great. However, at this point in chapter 2, it's reaching Paul now that the church in Philippi isn't as unified as he left it when he was persecuted. So he's writing back and he's saying, hey guys, while no church is perfect, and just like our church, while no church is perfect, you're not going to spread the gospel effectively just as one person. It takes a congregation. It takes us to unify. And so to give you guys kind of a personal example, I live in Akron. I live with, there's five roommates of us all together. One of them just moved out on Thursday, which is like super sad. But so a couple months ago, we went to this conference. It was a women's conference, and it talked about following God's call to obedience, or also to pray for a way to follow God's call to obedience. So we all went to that, and we all felt super convicted because we were like, are we following God's call to obedience? Is that something that we're striving to do? So individually, we didn't talk about this at all, but it just happened to fall together that we all happened to pray to God in conviction and say, God, you know, what is a way that we can be obedient to you? What is your call to us? And I mean, ask and you shall receive, because God answered. And all, I have five of them, but one of them, she's in grad school, so she's already following her call to obedience. But the four of us, we all were just like throwing these crazy, crazy situations where we could either just flee into the comfortability of what we already know, or we could take a step into the unknown and follow what God is calling us to do. And so together, we were all, it was kind of funny, it was like all in 1 week where we were like, yeah, like I have this crazy opportunity. I thought that was going to be way worse than it was. I have this crazy opportunity to do this. And my other roommate's like, yeah, I have like this crazy opportunity to do this. And my one roommate, she's like, yeah, like I think God's calling me to serve 11 different countries in 11 months. And we were like, you win. Like, okay. But overall, that was what that looked like for us. And when you live with 5 girls in 1 house, there can be a lot of like, I love my roommates, but there can be like a lot of like passive aggressiveness of like, okay, who didn't fill up the water pitcher? Like, just fill the water pitcher up. Or who parked too far to the house? Because now someone else can't park there. So who did that? So it's like always little things like that. But in that time, when we realized that we were all called to this obedience, we all came together and we were like, whoa, like suddenly, like this is all scary and unknown. And we can't do this by ourselves. Like we need each other. And so I think once that happened, and we also realized that from these calls to obedience, a lot of change was coming our way. And so for us, we had to cling on to each other. And for me, when I cheated on my test, I should have continued to be obedient and do what I knew was right. And I was doing right for so long because I had a great relationship with my teachers. I had a great rapport with them. They knew my family well because I've got 2 older brothers. I was well known in the school, like my whole family was. So they knew who I was. And even though when I was in the hallway teaching or taking my test, even though the teacher wasn't there, and just like Paul wasn't in Philippi with the Philippians, we needed to follow the call and allow ourselves to sacrifice our pride. We as in me, and also referring to the Philippians. I should have been so concerned about my relationship with these people, and I wasn't saved yet, but I should have been so concerned with my relationship and my reputation with these people that I should have been terrified that they'd find me, and clearly I wasn't, because I told you guys before how I had all these stakes against me of the deputy and the superintendent, and just I was just so desperate, and so I was willing to do anything. But if we look at the Philippians, do we think that they would have been advancing the kingdom if they were all so desperate to be right and so desperate to glorify themselves? Because I don't think that would have been an effective way to advance the kingdom. So this leads me to the second thing I think Paul is saying in verses 14 and 15. And they say this: do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Again, Paul is saying, hey, although I was there before, whenever there was like some sort of dispute, some sort of argument, I was there to be kind of the mediator or to be the peacekeeper or the peacemaker. But that wasn't me. That was God working through me. And God can work through you guys because we're all saved. And so Paul is saying, don't grumble and argue because we are called to do this all together. And again, he's saying, you guys have been doing so well so far, and he doesn't want to have to worry from prison as he's sacrificing his life as an offering for Christ. And just like I was cheating on my test, when I got caught, the teacher that I was really close to, like, I mean, I knew him well, like, I babysat his kids, if there was one person in the whole school, Emily's laughing at me because, like, wow, I'm, like, just really not thinking. If there's anybody in, like, the whole school, any teacher, I think he was, like, the number one person that I wouldn't want to catch me cheating. And sure enough, he walks out of his door, and we make direct eye contact. I mean, like, it was, like, lasers, okay? And I was, like, deer in headlights. I tried to, like, sit on my phone, put it in my pocket, like, go down to my test as if he didn't just catch me cheating. And he walks up to my desk and he looks down at my paper and he's looking down like this. He had like this like crazy stare. So it was like, I was already intimidated. He's like looking down like this and he grabs my phone and he looks, I didn't lock my phone. I don't know what I was thinking that day. he takes my phone and he looks at it and he's like, okay. And then he grabs my test. I'm like scared at this point. I'm like you know those moments in life where you're like, I kind of wish the ground would open and just take me whole. That is what I really, really desired in that moment because I was terrified. And so then he comes up to my, he grabs my test. He looks at it and he says, you know, Sarah, not only are you caught cheating on your test, but your answers are all wrong. Like, and like, you guys probably think I'm joking, but like, this was like, this happened and it was mortifying. And he was like, you know, I think if you're going to get caught cheating, maybe you could have done a little bit better. And so I'm like, and he's like joking, like he's like, not joking, he was serious, but like he's a pretty sarcastic guy. So I'm like terrified, but like kind of like scared laughing. And I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen next. Just like the Philippians are, Paul's hearing in prison and they don't know what's going to happen next. And so, yeah, I should have thought through that a little bit better. But in my, but I, like I said before, I was so desperate to do well, and I was so desperate to get a great grade. And I don't know why I was so desperate, because I don't know if it was because I was in AP classes, and that was my one math class that wasn't an AP class, and I just had something to prove, or I don't know if I was just so concerned about what other people thought of my grades if they saw it, because you know how sometimes like teachers place a test on your desk and you like, no, you just didn't do that well, so you like try to grab it before anybody else sees. I don't know if it was that that I was so concerned about, but the second I was caught cheating and I was trying to justify it by saying, I was texting my mom, I wasn't cheating, the second that happened, the teacher suddenly doubted my sincerity, and he had known me for 4 to 6 years at this point, and suddenly I'm no longer that person that was blameless and innocent, but I'm that person that he caught cheating, the one person he thought he could trust in school, and I was caught cheating. And so again in verse 15 it says, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So we see this in our everyday lives. When you guys go to school, do you guys think that you are the image of what God is calling you to be? And that's hard for me because, again, I wasn't saved when I was in high school. So for me, it's on that level, it's hard for me to relate with you guys on this. So I'm going to ask you, do you guys think that you are blameless and pure? Or are you so desperate for acceptance that when you're with your friends, you'll do anything? For instance, are you known for being a gossip who can't be trusted and people can't come to them and confide in you because you're so desperate to be accepted that you will tell anybody's secret or you will spread rumors that you don't even know are true or false? Because while this might not always be the case, just like when I was cheating on my test, people are always going to be watching. And it takes one time for someone to look at you and see you spreading those rumors or that gossip, and they're going to know, wow, I can never trust that person. That is not a person that I could ever confide in. Or if for those of you who play sports, and now, when I'm just like not a sporty person, so when I was writing this message, I was like, when the ref gave a bad call, or when someone blocked your score, so bear with me here, but so for those of you who do play sports, and say you're working so, so hard for that game the whole season, again, like, I'm just like, you guys know, I'm like, she's not sporty, and you're working so, so hard, and next thing you know, it's you lose that game that you had just been striving so hard for this season, and are you going to be that person that's going to blame everyone else or immediately go to calling out the ref or talking about how that person unfairly blocked you? Because here's the thing, someone's going to be watching that also, and they're going to think, wow, that person is a sore loser. But they're also going to think, I'm just really glad that I'm not on their team. But isn't growing our team what we should be striving to do as Christians? Shouldn't we want every single person in this room and in our schools, in our community, to be on our team? Because I think that that is what we should desire. And that's the thing. If you're grumbling and fighting against those who are in your community and those who know you well and those who are supporting you, do you think that those that you're trying to preach the gospel to are going to want to join your team? Because I hate to break it to you, but they're not going to want to. Matthew 28:19 says this, "Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So, are you currently being viewed as someone who shines as bright as possible? Are you someone who's blameless or pure? Or are you currently in a position where you are running in the vein of yourself or laboring in vain for your own desire? I'm asking you guys, are you currently living a life that you would want someone else to observe and know that person follows God? Because in that moment when I was cheating, I was not. And that was not something that I would ever want anybody else to see, which doesn't make sense because I was in a hallway that everyone would walk past. But anyway, it's fine. So when I was caught cheating on my test, suddenly the light that my teacher had seen shine so bright for so long was now so dim that when I look back, I think he probably thought that he would have to change the light bulb himself. And that's not what we should aim for. Because while we are not perfect, and God doesn't call us to be perfect. I'm not saying that in any way, but I think that when you are a Christian, there is a level of discernment that we need before we do anything that makes us think twice between right or wrong. So with that leads me to my last point, and this is in verses 17 and 18. And it says, "Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." I think Paul here is challenging us to allow our sacrifices to be worth it, because all of our sacrifices will be glorifying to God. And as Paul's writing in verses 17 and 18, he's saying, if he were to die today, if he were to die after being persecuted and being in prison for however long he was, which was a long time, he says, if I were to die today, I knew that since I was born again, since I stopped persecuting Christians and followed Jesus, since I was born again, I have been living a selfless life in the hope that it is an offering to God. And he's calling the Philippians to do the same thing. And yes, when Jesus died for us, that was the ultimate sacrifice. And there's no way that we will ever compare to that. But the cool thing is that all of our sacrifices are viewed for the glory of God. God's going to look at that and say, wow, they are trying to glorify me. And if that means that you have to tell your friends who are gossiping and spreading rumors that maybe it's not a good idea, I think it's worth it. Because now someone watching you is going to look at you and say, wow, like, I admire that person. Like, that's hard to do. Like, who knew if their friends were going to react poorly to that? Or for those, if you have to have a grin and bear attitude to losing the game that you worked so hard for, I think that's worth it. Because someone will want to approach someone else that is a team player. And if that means going up to someone and being nice to them, even if you don't know them, even if it's scary, even if you don't know how people will respond, it's worth it. Because who knows what their suffering is or how that's affecting them, and we need to be unified in that. And if that means standing with your community of fellow believers, even when you disagree over something, which is hard, but even if that happens, but you're standing firm with Christ as your cornerstone, I think it's worth it. Because that is how you'll advance the kingdom. Shining bright for the advancement of the gospel can only happen when you're willing to posture yourself with humility and sacrifice for the kingdom. And I'll say that again for you guys. Shining bright for the advancement of the gospel can only happen when you're willing to posture yourself with humility and sacrifice for the kingdom. Because to be completely honest, you're only going to shine bright if the room that you're in is dark. You're only going to shine bright if you're in a situation that's unknown. Or if you're in a situation that God's calling you to obedience in, you're going to shine bright in that. But you're not going to shine bright if you're doing things to glorify yourself or glorify what you desire. So to wrap it up, we discussed what the call to obedience looks like. We followed by explaining what sacrifice is. And we ended with a conversation that's challenging the brightness of your light. So from here, I have some challenges for you guys. I'm going to challenge you guys to consider, are you guys making sacrifices for the advancement of the gospel? And I challenge you guys, are you willing to ask God to give you chances to sacrifice things for the gospel? And if God does challenge you into obedience, is there things that you would say no to? And for some of you here, I know that while I was speaking, God did reveal something to sacrifice to you guys. So I'm asking you guys, are you really going to follow that? Or are you going to hope that God's call to obedience is some sort of magic eight ball that you can just keep shaking and shaking in the hopes that you'll change the answer? Because when God calls you to obedience, he's calling you to that specific situation. And we need to follow that, because as much as we want to hope, God is not a magic eight ball that we can just make our own. And so with all that in mind, most importantly, are you all in here allowing your light to shine as bright as possible where you are? Awesome. Pray with me, guys. Father, I thank you again for this summer, and I thank you for placing me in a community that I've just been able to grow in myself, God, and I've seen people move, and I've seen people grow with you, God, and I'm so thankful that I've had this opportunity, God. I pray that as students leave today that they are able to know who you are, God, and know your words and allow the words that I spoke to manifest through them, God, and know that I'm sitting before them as your vessel, God. God, I pray for the rest of the summer, God. I pray for safety among these students, and I pray as they're getting ready to step back into school that they are able to challenge their community. They're able to challenge themselves to build a better community that's glorifying to you, Lord. God, I thank you again, and I thank you for these days to come, and I thank you for today. I pray these things in your name. Amen.